Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Well, what I'd like to do this morning is to talk to you for just a few moments about some spiritual heartburn, some spiritual indigestion. And in so doing, I'd like for us to notice three things that I believe are appropriate or that relate to this. Number one is age-appropriate food. There are certain foods that are meant for certain age groups. Number two, I'd like to talk about allowing for proper digestion in a spiritual sense. And then number three, for our to talk about absorbing the proper nutrients from the food we eat. Let's begin, first of all, with age-appropriate food. Many of you look around our auditorium and we have a number of small infants, small children. They are fed with milk because that's what's appropriate for their age. As they grow a little bit, more solid food is added to the point when they reach a certain age level, they're able to eat almost any food they so desire. Well, let me point out to you spiritually that same thing is true. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, "As newborn babes long for, desire that milk of the word that you may grow thereby." What he's saying is that when you become a child of God, you need to want nourishment. The nourishment that you can take at that age level is only milk. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, going through verse 4, Paul addresses the church at Corinth and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for you were not able to bear it, or able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For there, where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul and I of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Now he said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat because you weren't able to receive it." We all understand that you have children. And when they're a baby, you give them milk, you give them formula. But by the time they get to be 5, 6, 7 years of age, you expect them to be able to eat much more solid food. Would you think there is something wrong with your child if by the time he's 5, 6, 7 years of age, all he could digest would be milk? I dare say most of us would be visiting the doctors and saying, "There's something wrong with the development of my child. I think he is physically not doing as he ought to be doing." Do you realize spiritually the church at Corinth had not grown to the point of being able to receive solid teaching, more mature teaching? If you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11, the writer there says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." What is the point? We understand there's age-appropriate food, but the problem develops when sometimes we have not grown to be able to digest and ingest food that is a little more difficult. Now I want you to go back with me to that passage, to Luke chapter 24, and back up to verses 25 through 27. You see, here is the application of the point that I'm trying to make. "And then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What did Jesus do in that occasion? These two men on the road to Emmaus. What he did, he looked at them and he said, "All slow to believe and all the prophets have spoken." You people are not opening up your Bibles and realizing how all these passages apply to me. Let me illustrate to you the point that I'm trying to make. In the early 1940s, there was a group of people decided they were going to make a new translation, an updated one. It's called the Revised Standard Version. It was released in 1946 for the Old Testament and 1952 for the New Testament. New Testament and then Old Testament. But in the release of that translation, when they came to such passages as Isaiah 7 and verse 14, they said, "You know, we really don't believe in the spiritual. We really don't believe in the miraculous." And so when they came, they translated that version in verse 14 of Isaiah 7. "And behold, a young woman will conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," is the way they translated it. Many of you would say, "But that passage says, behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son." Yes, you're right. Matthew 1 and verse 23 says the same thing, and the word virgin is there. But you see, because they didn't believe in predictive prophecy, because they did not believe in the virgin birth, because everything was physical to them, they said, "We're just going to call her a young woman." Well, the point is simply this. Those people who are spiritually immature do not look at the spiritual level of things. They only look at the physical level. That's what 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4 is all about. These people are concentrating on physical things. They're not able to see the deeper meaning. When you look at what Jesus did there in Luke 24 to those two men on the road to Emmaus, was to go through the Old Testament and point out to them passage after passage after passage where God had prophesied the coming of the Christ. These two men on the road to Emmaus were not able to digest that. They were not able to grasp that. Are we able to grasp the deeper meanings of God's Word, or are we content to be superficial and to be like babes? Younger Christians should not be expected to grasp or digest the stronger, deeper, richer parts of God's Word. They will one day, but sadly, many of us are like the people in the book of Hebrews. We ought to be teachers by now, but we're still needing to be taught the first principles. We are like the people in Corinth. We're still caught up in personalities and are not looking at the deeper spiritual aspect of Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in John 16 and verse 12, when He spoke to His disciples, He said, "I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them now. You're not able to accept them." Age-appropriate food. Yes, it's okay when you're a child to be able to eat milk. But if you're not able to digest God's Word after several years, you have a spiritual indigestion, then we need to grow up. Number two, a second aspect that I thought of with regards to this is allowing for proper digestion. In order for food to digest properly, it requires a certain amount of time. I don't know about you, but I can remember my Mama Bessie, that's what I called her, after we would eat and make us children sit down, and she would say, "You've got to let your food digest." I'm sure some of you have heard that same kind of thought. Well, let me point out to you that we need to allow God's Word to be digested in us as well. In Psalms 1 and verse 2, He says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates both day and night. Here's a person who allows God's Word to sink down deep inside, to think about it, to mull over it. In Joshua 1, verse 8, God had chosen Joshua to replace Moses as his leader of the people. And in choosing Joshua, he wanted Joshua to understand, Joshua, you don't lead just as a military general. You're going to lead my people based upon my covenant, based upon my word. And he said to him, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua, you need to think about the commands that I have given you. You need to be able to put it in your mouth. You need to be able to be a spokesman for me among the people. You see, when you start thinking about allowing for proper digestion, Joshua needed to let God's Word sink down deep. Well, there's some important aspects, I think, that can be valuable. Just some practical applications of this. Number one, there has to be an open and a willing, receptive mind. For me to be able to properly digest food, I've got to be able to eat it and it go down. I can't have any obstructions there. Well, in John chapter 8 and verse 37, Jesus said to those Jews, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. What he is saying to those people is, you are not letting God's word in you. You're not letting it be absorbed in you. What you are doing, you're rejecting it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, the original King James records, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. May have free course. We need to let God's word shape us, guide us, direct us, have free course in us, and not be obstructed. A second practical application is one must eat proportioned amounts. You don't need to eat too much or too little at one time. I don't know how many of you have heard about people who have a number of these eating disorders. One that just, I think, is so sad is what's called splurge and purge. People who just gorge themselves on tons and tons of food, and then after they do, they feel so guilty, then they stick their finger in the back of their mouth and regurgitate it all, and they'll then go and eat a lot again, and it's a constant splurge and purge. Well, let me point out to you, we don't need to gorge ourselves to the point where we can't absorb the Word of God, nor to the point where we starve ourselves. Now, let me apply this, if you will. Perhaps us preachers are guilty as much as anyone of just throwing out one passage after another. I know many of you have told me that by the time I cite a verse, I'm already two verses beyond where you would like to look it up. And that may be a true fault of not giving you time to be able to look at a passage and consider it. But you can take so much of God's Word at one time that you don't grasp what is within it. Let's say you sit down and read 10, 15, 20 chapters of God's Word. It is a wonderful thing to get the full spectrum of what the passage is talking about. But then you need to go back and you need to be able to have small enough portions that you can digest it, that you can see the detail within it, that you can make application of it. On the other hand, there are some times when we starve ourselves to death to our own hurt. I'd like to use a couple of illustrations, if you don't mind. The Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, the children of Israel are fighting the Philistines. Saul is at this point leading the army in the fight against the Philistines. His son Jonathan is coming along. And Saul is given an order that no one is supposed to eat anything until they have completely and fully routed the Philistines. Of course, Jonathan's not aware of that. And you find in 1 Samuel chapter 14, I just want to look at verses 28 through 30. Then one of the people said, "Your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed is the man who eats food this day.' And the people were faint. But Jonathan said, 'My father has troubled the people of the land. Look now how my countenance has brightened because I tasted of this honey. How much better had the people eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found, for now there would not have been a much greater slaughter of the Philistines.'" Now what Jonathan said was, if the people had just taken a little bit, they had gotten some energy, and they'd have been able to do some great things. Let me tell you something, folks. You want to be able to enjoy a proper digestion of God's Word? Take a little bit of it every day. It will brighten your eyes in the same way that it did Jonathan's. Saul foolishly had prohibited the people from eating. Let me give you another aspect for proper digestion. You've got to make sure that you're careful what you put in your food. If you go with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, there's an illustration used there of some of the great miracles that were performed by Elisha the prophet. And we learn from 2 Kings 4, beginning with verse 38, "And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, 'Put on now a large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets.' So one went out into the field to gather herbs, and he found a wild vine. And he gathered a lap full of wild gourds. And he came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. And then they served to the men to eat. And now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, 'Man of God, there's death in the pot.' And they could not eat it." I want you to imagine, there's been a famine. There's not been any food much to be served. And I want you to imagine you have the sons of the prophet, like a preacher training school, if you will. Here's this school for the prophets. And they've all got to be fed. And so Elisha says, let's make a big pot of stew to feed everybody. But one of them goes out looking for herbs to put in it. And he comes and he finds something. He doesn't know what it is. It's a wild gourd, and he comes back and he starts cutting it up, putting it in the stew. They eat it and they say, there's death in the pot. Let me make some application. There are people who are going out and getting doctrines from everywhere rather than getting the good, wholesome food of God's Word. There's a pot to be fed from. And there's a lot of people who go there to eat, and it's not all poison, but some of that death in the pot is. And it's been brought in, and you start trying to digest poison with good food, and you know what's going to happen? There's death in the pot. If I get up here and try to preach to you God's Word, and I mix in just a little bit of poison in it, there's death in the pot. There's death in the stew. And you can't digest the poison. Number four, of a practical application is we ought to be seeking for food that satisfies. Twice Jesus refers to food and drink that is able to satisfy. If you remember in John chapter 4 when he meets the woman at the well, she has come there to draw. Jesus asked for her to give him water. And then he says, if you had known who spoke this to you, you would have asked of me to give you water. And she said, sir, the well is deep and you have nothing with which to draw. And here's the way Jesus responds. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst. But the water I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said, sir, give me this water that I may drink. The water I give, you don't ever have to thirst again. You go later to John chapter 6, verse 35 and verse 55. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Drop down to verse 55. For my flesh is food and drink indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. What is he saying? I can give you food that really satisfies, that satisfies the soul. You want to digest something that will satisfy you? Go to God's Word. And that's where it shall be found. Number 3. Of the main points, we want to, number 1, have age-appropriate food. Number 2, we want to make sure we allow for proper digestion. And then number 3, we want to absorb the nutrients. Generally, we do not eat things unless it tastes good. I know there are times when we may find things that we taste of it and we say, that tastes bad. I don't believe I want to eat that. I almost got tickled the other night. I can remember most of you talking about the days when you were growing up and having to take castor oil and saying, oh, that's so bad. Standing at one of the counters the other day, I noticed there's all kinds of various treatments for stomach ailments. And then I look right down on the bottom, one little shelf about this wide, castor oil. I'm still buying. Wonder why one little shelf, one little small bottle for castor oil and all these. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste good. Let me point out to you that some people have not yet understood that the Word of God tastes wonderful. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, going all the way through chapter 3 and verse 3, he talks about how God is going to give Isaiah this word. And he says to him in verse 3 of chapter 3, so I ate and it was in my mouth honey like sweetness. In Hebrews 6 and verse 5, he says, and they have tasted the good word of God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse, or 5 and verse 6, he talks about those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, there's some foods that I have tasted and I love that taste. And you know what happens? Whenever I think about it, I crave it, I desire it, I want it. There's got to be a desire created in our minds for us to want food to be able to get the nutrients that come from it. But let me make a very important application for this. What if I eat good, nutritious food, but after eating it, I don't do anything? That food becomes fat. Because if I sit there and I eat, it's good food, nutritious food, but I don't expend the energy, then it becomes fat. If you and I come every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every night of the Vacation Bible School, every night of the gospel meeting, if I study God's Word, but then I never do anything, that good energy, the nutrients, the fuel, and I never use that, what does it profit? The problem is sometimes people do not fully grasp the benefit of God's Word. Let me go carry you back to Luke 24, verse 32. These two men said, "Did not our heart burn within us?" Did they digest all that Jesus had said to them? No, they didn't grasp it. They had not allowed God's Word at that point to sink down deep in them. Let me ask you a question. Do you have this morning a spiritual heartburn, a spiritual indigestion? Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 27, "Do not labor for food which perishes, but food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the Father has set His seal on Him." I know that several of us, after services are over this morning, will be preparing to eat a lunch. Some of you may have prepared a very delicious meal. But the problem with that meal is you're going to get hungry again. But if you will take in and digest and draw energy from the Word of God, it will sustain you and supply your every need. We are told by James, "Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." If you'll open your song book and prepare to sing the song of invitation, it's great. It's valuable this morning that the Lord has been good enough to us to provide us the privilege to extend His invitation. That if this morning you're not a Christian, you can come to Him because of your faith, repenting of your sins, letting your faith be known, and then to be baptized for the remission of your sins. The baptistry behind me is prepared. The water is warm. There's clothing that's available. And I can assure you that we're all here ready and willing to observe the great honor of seeing you become a child of God.